welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness and people who stick to wrong beliefs, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go frickin' nuts. My very special guest is Dr. Mangere, Samantha-Lawton. It's a hyphenated name. Welcome back.
Hi.
Okay, where were we?
Wherever you want to be.
Well, I guess the whole concept of trauma and how it teaches you something. What did these really nasty experiences of losing your marriage and your home and basically your entire career path and changing it? Because this was the question that I wanted to ask most people who have an established viewpoint of something. When was the last time that your worldview was radically shifted? And you could ask this to any politician, any scientist or doctor, and for them, they'd have to think about it and go, man, it's actually been quite a long time. You haven't grown up much then, have you? So what about yourself? When was the last time that your full-on reality just kind of shifted? For me, I hope that it happens every couple of months.
Yeah, I think I'm a Scorpio, so I think you have to really let go. You know, I'm really into this sort of death and rebirth kind of thing. And I think that's a very Scorpio thing. But, I mean, it should happen. And if you know where you are, then you don't know anything. I mean, I have my beliefs challenged all the time. I'm always learning. And I just get an insight and I go, wow. And it's wonderful when you can't figure something out in your life because you know that you're growing, like something is actually happening. And, whenever you get to a point where you go, I've got it all worked out, blah, 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 it all changes again. I know what you're saying. It's like some people live in a parallel reality and they have the same sort of life and the same job. I see some people from my school maybe and they have got the same sort of, they live in the same town and I don't know how they do it. It's just, you know, for me, every few years, you know, I make a big change in my life, definitely. It just seems to happen. And every day I'm getting new insights. So, yeah, absolutely. The big one for me was 10 years ago. But in a way, you know, that the really big one was 1992 because I went from a total materialist to a mystic overnight. I mean, it was literally overnight. And so I was learning a lot of things that that prepared me for the big loss of career and everything. I was really gaining a lot of personal development tools, so I think you're only given what you can handle. So for a lot of doctors who have actually left my life since then, you know, they couldn't handle it. Any, you know, doctor friends just couldn't imagine themselves losing their license. And, I quit. I wasn't struck off. I just want to emphasize that. So I quit my license. I actually told them that I didn't want it anymore and they could go stop it. And so a lot of doctors just couldn't imagine themselves stepping out of the box like that. But because I already had, you know, a robust emotional system of actually how to handle myself and how to grow and other interests as well, I got out of that. It was very, very difficult. I'm not going to say it was a breeze, but because I already knew certain things about life, that, you know, nothing happens by accident. Everything that happens in your life is a choice at some level. A choice, as in the black hole paradigm, it's beyond the speed of light. You're choosing beyond the speed of light at all times what happens in your life. Some people call it the higher self. So because I already knew that, even when they were, I had a knock on my doorstep. And on my doorstep there was a psychiatrist and a GP, ironically a GP that I used to work with, I trained alongside, coming to section me. That's what happened. And so even when that was happening, and how traumatic was that, they actually came and they said, we can't see anything wrong with you, but your parents and your ex-husband are saying that you've got some really strange ideas. I mean, stuff about David Icke and the reptilians and everything like that came up. It was really, really quite comical if you think about it. You know, I'm sitting in a medical office with a general medical counsel talking about reptilians. And it was, he's now a friend of mine, David, and I haven't actually told him that that's happened. But, you know, so, yeah, so I was getting this experience, but in the moment, I knew that there was a higher picture happening. And that I wasn't in the right career. It was paying my bills, but it wasn't in the right career. That there was something, a bigger picture unfolding. And if I didn't know that in the moment, I think, you know, like a lot of doctors who go through general medical counsel sort of investigation or medical counsel investigations for whatever country you're in, the different names. But a lot of doctors actually commit suicide even before their hearing. Even if they're innocent of everything. I want to emphasize that as well. I did not have a single complaint about me professionally. It was purely my personal life. And then worried that I, because I have spiritual experiences, that I was actually mentally unstable. There was no, this is a big shock to my colleagues because I behaved completely professionally at work. There was not a single patient complaint, not a single colleague complaint. I kept my spiritual life secret. I went to work and I did my GP job, paid my bills with that. I was actually a doctor at the holistic at the Bristol Cancer Help Centre. It's now called the Penny Bronze Centre. I was working as a holistic doctor there, so you know, and I was working as a healer. So I was doing all of these things, juggling them all, and keeping them very separate: my orthodox work and my sort of holistic work. And so. When it was happening, because, you know, almost like I'd been prepared by the universe, I got through it where I think a lot of people wouldn't have got through such an experience, and people don't. People do sort of, you know, end up committing suicide for something like that. And so that really helped. And so when I've been through that, and in a way, I'm starting to say, obviously, it's hurt very much, a betrayal from my family and everything. It's taken a long time to get over all these things, but now I'm truly saying it was the best thing that happened to me. The world opened up, you know, immediately I started speaking around the world. I've been on BBC TV, Channel 4, you know, I've been around the world, invited to conferences and, you know, speaking to more interesting people like you. You know, I met the scientists that I started studying, I've met them, I've spoken alongside them. I've got a wonderful new partner now who's totally into all of these same sort of stuff. It's just really, for me now, I can look back and go, you know, this is really the best thing that happened. And it freed me. I'm not in the system. I totally stepped out of the system. I can say so much more than when I was in the system. So maybe that was the point, you know.
Evan, don't you find that really funny, is that the worst things that happen to you in your life often turn out to actually be the best things to have ever happened to you?
Oh, it's the dark, people call it the dark night of the soul. I mean, this is why I wrote the second book, because the genius groove, because that's all about when you really go through these experiences to understand what's happening in the moment. So if you get in the moment that there's something unfolding, something bigger, it may be really horrendous, but it's really, really helped me, and it helped me to get into what I'm calling the genius groove, you know, my real creativity, what I'm really here to do. And sometimes to get onto your right path, it has to be something big like that. And, you know, and just the second book was about, you know, this is what's happening. If this is going on with you, you're being called to do something bigger maybe. Or, you know, if something inside you is just yearning and don't feel you're in the right job or career, you know, follow that call. Because when you do, the universe starts to unfold. And it's amazing what can happen. I mean, with me, it was pretty dramatic. But, you know, it did just totally open up my life. I'm just, you know, doing amazing things now that I would never have done before if I'd stuck and been a GP.
So you can either pay your bills or change the world. I think you made a good decision.
Well, that's the other strange thing. People worry about money. How are you going to pay the bills? Me included. I was, you know, how's the mortgage going to get paid? It's been quite amazing how things have come at the right moment. It's, you know, the coffers have been low. I'm not going to lie to you many times. But, you know, it's the abundance. I move beyond the system and the money and into the abundance. And that's a different vibration altogether. And so I think people are, you know, still in the box. They're so worried about it. If you really have that calling to move on, you know, there really is this abundance vibration. And I was just as fearful as everybody else about what would happen if I lost my job. It's been nothing short of miraculous what can happen if you really follow the true path. And
I can vouch for that.
Yeah.
In the last couple of weeks, I think my PayPal account got cancelled. So over 3 years, I think, we've been trying to gain subscribers for like $5, $10 a month or whatever. Whatever people are willing to donate, just so I can keep doing what I'm doing with this radio show, right?
Yeah.
And then that gets cancelled. The account gets frozen and I can't access it for 180 days. So I've got 3 years' worth of income that's coming in suddenly disappeared. And I think within a couple of days or something, I had all these donations pouring in into my bank accounts and into the new PayPal account. And I think just as little as yesterday, I was thinking, oh, my God, I'm so totally screwed, or there's no money anywhere. Oh, my God. And I look in my account this morning and suddenly there's enough money to pay the rent this week. And it's not an isolated incident either. No. It happens regularly.
And what's so amazing is it's always enough. It may not be, you know, the riches or whatever, but, you know, when you really need something, you get enough, and it sometimes comes in such amazing forms that you never would have predicted. It's true. I mean, it's kind of like I'm just the same as everybody else. It's hard to let go and get your sort of ego mind around it. But, you know, I kind of, once I was forced to let go of my job, you know, the amount of times that sort of thing has happened to me as well. And it's true, it really does happen. So you're obviously doing the right thing in life.
Now that's what's interesting, is because people get paid by other people to do things that they hate, to do a job that doesn't make much of a difference in the world, and yet when people do the direct opposite of that, when they work for, you know, like the greater humanity, etc., as I like to call it, the universe just gets the frack out of your way.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, bro, I'm sorry that you've had to suffer for goodness knows how long working for a boss who doesn't understand you or doing a job that doesn't thrill you, and now that you're doing something that thrills you, helps people, and makes the world a better place, suddenly you don't need that whole riches and glamour story, because your life itself becomes the glamour. The magnanimous nature of the universe becomes your jewelry.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're doing it if you've got a penny or you got a lot more than that, you know. It's absolutely true, yeah. So, you know, so that's you know, part of the reason why I wrote the second book, to be an example. So I've told my story in public about my family, and because I thought, you know what, this might help people who are worried about, you know, going for it or wonder what might happen. You know, just to tell my story may help some people. And, you know, people write to me about my story, which was a bit nerve-wracking, you know, because, you know, of my family and everything, and the personal nature of it all. But it has really, people have written to me from around the world and said that they've appreciated that and it's helped them. So that's really amazing. And I think, you know, just as you've told your story, it's like just to be that example, just gives people the courage to go do it themselves, you know. So, you know, I've ended up in a completely different place career-wise than I thought I'd be. I mean, you know, as I said, I'm not a physicist. But it's come to me. And, you know, I think this is what's happening right now. It's like people who are unexpected out of academia, out of the norm, are bringing information through them. And they have to do it because the academic world is stuck. You know, so sometimes it's completely unexpected where you end up. But you got to follow that genius groove, as I call it.
Genius groove. Hey, and speaking of which, is there... Well, another thing that occurred to me is that your social life completely opens up in a different way. Like, you were talking before about how your professional career and your personal career, you tried to separate them or do them both at the same time. And I tried to do that as well. Like, I got two Facebook accounts, one for my personal stuff and one for my, you know, activism and exposing scumbaggery and what have you. And I found out over a number of years that suddenly my...
I'm interested in what your passion is. And, yeah, absolutely.
All right. We'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, with Dr. Manjur from punkscience.com. That's punkscience.com. We'll see you after the break, ladies and gentlemen. Just a few minutes. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Due to technical difficulties, we're doing this interview via phone, and it's actually given me the opportunity to experiment. You know how every crisis you can turn into an opportunity, as the Chinese character would suggest? I've always toyed with the idea of filming myself properly with my little HD camera while doing my radio shows instead of just with the webcam, which occasionally freezes and such. So, we'll see how this episode comes out. My very special guest is Dr. Manjur Samantha Lawton from punkscience.com. Now, we were talking in the previous segment about, well, life changes, really, how your life changes. And it's my opinion that really you don't really change a hell of a lot. In a lot of cases, without some form of trauma to motivate you, like it's the very reason why you change in the first place. It's like you're adapting to a new type of living, and usually adaptation happens because the previous environment that you lived in, which allowed you to survive, no longer exists. Dr. Manjur, welcome back.
Hi.
Now, if you have some great wisdom that you'd like to offer people, just from your personal experience, anybody who's wanting to get into these type of fields, or anybody who's currently part of the establishment but knows that something's wrong and wants to get out of it, what kind of advice would you offer them?
Oh, gosh. I think really, really, if you really want to know who you are authentically, then I think you have to really watch what you eat, like in what your consciousness eats, you know. So really be aware of, you know, what you're taking in from the media and, you know, what sort of messages. I think I can't, you know, go into a lot of environments now. I've been news-free for about over 10 years. And it amazes me that people just are taking in what they're told. I mean, even, you know, even a show like this, if you're watching this sort of show, or if you listen to this sort of show, like, nonstop, like, all the time, you know, maybe just cut down a bit, you know. And it's great that people are getting informed, but take some time out to actually find out what your authentic self actually is. What is the wisdom within? What is the voice of your own self? And, you know, one of the huge, huge things that people miss out are emotions, because that's what really got me through to actually understand that at the end of the day, if something happens in your life, there's something, there's a lesson in there. There's some sort of reflection that you can gain from that. There's some sort of insight about yourself that you can gain. I mean, something extraordinary happened through that whole process with the General Medical Council. When I was going to the, you know, I said one of the psychiatrists was not very nice to me. Before I went to that appointment, a dark line appeared on my neck. Now I've got brown skin anyway, but there was a browner line that appeared on my neck. And it was really bizarre. And I thought, there's something going on here to do with a past life. That where I've been hung for as a witch, it actually appeared and manifested on my neck. And so I was sort of reenacting and reliving some sort of past life scenario. And, you know, sometimes when something happens, it's triggering or you're reliving or something from your own emotional subconscious self, which doesn't have to be just this life. It can actually go back to past lives. And if you actually do the work of what I mean by do the work, the way that I do it a lot of the time when it's not, I'm coming up against something that's bothering me and I can't figure out what it is, taking that time and just withdrawing into yourself and listening to your own wisdom, often you've got the answers within you. So either type or write or just even just take some time to actually listen to that wisdom. Once you start to connect with that, and to do that often you have to shut down some of the sort of fear-based media, once you connect with that, you know, the real self will really start to emerge. So that's one of the most powerful things that I've found works in my life. So
I completely concur. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to understand yourself better, switch off the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Do it now.
I wonder how many people have done that.
I don't know. Probably got like two or three people listening to. Anyway, the other element here that I really thought was quite brilliant about what you said there as well is that everybody's got their own answers within them innately. And I think that was a mistake that I made earlier on in my career is going out and expecting somebody else to have the answer, expecting somebody else to be able to solve my problem, expecting somebody else to help me get into my career path of choice, you know, that kind of thing. When you're expecting everybody else to do all your thinking for you and all your actions for you, how much control over your own life and mind do you really have?
It's when you think about how we're educated, it's no surprise that told from, you know, when we're very young, we're trained and indoctrinated into somebody else knows better than you. And one of the things that I've done in my life is also looked at the subject of spiritual children. And I was one of the, I organized some of the first conferences around the world. Well, it was based in England, but it was one of the first conferences of the world that actually took the subject of spiritual children and holistic education seriously, because a lot of the kids nowadays, I don't know if you've heard the term indigo kids.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, there's these, and it wasn't really my subject. My subject was science, but I found myself at a conference sitting with a lady that I just met her once before, and we sort of met at this conference, and this massive great angel, I kid you not, hit me over the head, hit her over the head, and knocked our heads together and said, get on with it. And it sounds really bizarre, but I mean, this is my world. I live a multidimensional reality. And, you know, so, and to a lot of people, I mean, I saw a friend walk past when we're in this moment and actually put my hand right in front of him, and he swears he did not see me at all. It's like we went into another dimension for a while. And when we were in that sort of different frequency, we were talking about, well, we've been brought together, what we're supposed to do. And we ended up doing these conferences on holistic children and indigo kids and highlighting all of those things. Because so for a while, I was known around the world as Dr. Indigo. Because, like, even though it wasn't really my subject, you know, And but I'm glad that I did it. I'm very proud that we did it because it was highlighting that, you know, the way that we educate children is just, we're just stuffing information into them. And, you know, when you've got kids now who are remembering past lives, who are, I met this 15-year-old girl who was she'd written loads and loads of books in a script that nobody could recognize. Nobody knew what it was. And she was just said, I don't know where I'm getting it from. And she had a particular name for it. And she could remember all sorts of things about this planet. And, you know, she didn't know if there were memories or she was channeling. She didn't know. She just had a lot of information. She'd been writing it down since she was about 5 years old, her and her sister. And she could sing in this language. And nobody else could interpret this language, but if she made a mistake writing it, she would cross it out. I mean, nobody else would know she had made a mistake. She knew it was a real language to her. So you've got this incredible, incredible new generation coming up. And I think, you know, people who are very cynical at the moment, going, you know, the world is, you know, terrible. There's, you know, everything's been tightened and tightened. The powers that controlling the planet and making everything tighter, just, you know, have a look at these indigo children and really listen to them, and you'll see that there's a different consciousness that's coming up. They're not in the majority, there's more of them, and they're more convinced of who they are. A lot of kids start off spiritual and then they end up becoming talked out of it because of their education and that sort of thing. The indigos are different. They've got more of a sense of self, and they can actually stand up to adults and actually say, no, this is who I am. It's not a belief. It's actually, my identity. So it's not a hobby. Spirituality with them is not a hobby. It's actually who they are. So, you know, that, looking at them and seeing that one day they will be the ones that are in the positions of, being the positions of power in politics or whatever, the world has to change when these kids grow up as the more of them come through. So I think there's a huge evolution going on, and, this sense of self and going within, we're taught not to do that, but the more that these kids are sort of going to grow up, I think the more that that's going to be the norm.
Well, my question is, how many of these children are going to survive having these abilities after they've been forced into public education that denies any of these things exist? Because I found you can convince children of lies very easily a lot of the time, and they simply get things hammered into them, and they forget who they are. They forget their abilities and things. And there's all sorts of strange things that kids do. If kids are saying things that you don't understand, write down that thing that you don't understand, and then a couple of years later, suddenly it'll pop out at you and go, oh, my God, that makes a hell of a lot of sense. And my girlfriend, her niece, Caitlin, they were driving past a graveyard one day, and Caitlin was waving out the car to the graveyard going, hi, everybody.
Wow.
and the adults in the car are going, what? That's the funny thing, isn't it? Adults think we know everything, and we think the kids know nothing, but in a lot of cases, it's the other way around.
Yeah, exactly. And what used to happen in cases like that is that they would get it hammered out of them, and what seems to be happening now is that we're children under three, as soon as they start to talk, they start, quite a few kids will talk maybe about, something strange, seeing spirits, past lives, and then they used to grow out of it. What we're seeing is they're not growing out of it, and it's staying with them in school. I even was approached when I was doing a talk in London by a group of medical students, and they came up to me, and they said, we're looking for a doctor who understands, what we're about. And they had started a healing clinic in a nightclub. These are people who've gone through the whole of the educational system and were in their mid-20s, and yet they still had this sense, even though they were in med school, of who they were. And they got the lecture from, I introduced them to some more doctors, working doctors, and they got the lecture from them saying, you're going to lose all this, you're going to get onto the wards, and you're going to forget all your spirituality, you're going to forget all about healing and being holistic, it's going to be all drummed out. And they politely listened, and then when he left, they said, we're not going to lose this, because this is who we are. And, you know, to get to the, in their 20s, having gone through such a rigorous educational system already, and be in the medical profession, and still be in touch with all of this stuff, with the dimensions, with all this spiritual knowledge, you know, they're medical students, they're the doctors of the future. You know, so, you know, it's happening in all sectors. So it's not the majority yet, but we're going to start to see changes as these kids are growing up.
Well, and also what some people have told me is that there's a generational ruling class kind of thing, like whoever's about maybe 40 to 50 years old or whatever, that tends to be the ruling people who get elected into politics and yeah. and what have you, the 40 and overs, basically. And what I've really hoped is that maybe there'll be a generation someday who actually grows up, goes through 4+ decades of experience and doesn't have their hope, creativity, and wisdom wiped out by the current society, and actually leads society into something better.
From what I've seen, it's like they can't be any different. It's like the vibration that they are representing. And, you know, we know from physics, you know, string theory, everything is vibration, you know, and vibration says resonance, you know, so like attracts what like, you know, and that applies to our own atoms as well. So, you know, we have these beings of different frequencies and different abilities. I mean, I tell you, I sat in general practice and had to prescribe Ritalin-type drugs to little children, and it absolutely killed me, because myself being a mystic, myself being psychic, I could tell that some of these kids were actually really, really quick at picking things up and actually could read thoughts. And it was very difficult to sit there and do my job and medicate when I could see that this was what was going on. And so these abilities and these different frequencies and resonance, they're going to create automatically through resonance, create a different world. And I'm not sure it's going to be the world of politicians, you know, because, you know, you know, on this show, you probably discuss it a lot, what's really going on behind politicians. And, you know, the kids don't see the same structures.
Yeah, well, thank goodness for that, because they don't really exist. Hey, what was it? You're not supposed to build your house on sand because it doesn't accommodate any structure. But that's basically what politics has become. It's been about a perpetual sandcastle model. Let's build something that will no longer exist. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastonshow.com.
Alone against your mad, deadly, worldwide, conspiratorial, gangster, computer god communism with wall-to-wall, deadly gangster protection, lifelong sworn conspirators, murder, incorporated, organized crime, the police...
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about murder, incorporated, and organized crime. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Hey, and here's another element that I'd like to ask you, Dr. Mangia. Is the future. I don't know about you, but I'm a big sci-fi nut myself. And the thing that impresses me most about things in sci-fi movies is the possession of technology that we don't currently have or even have an inkling of how it works. And I'm wondering, through the discovery of true science with actual facts and things of that nature behind it, what kind of technology, what kind of devices and things like that will we be capable of creating? How much more potential in terms of exploring the universe or even exploring inside the very human mind and soul? How much more potential could we possibly have if we were to adopt a whole new approach to science itself?
Oh, wow, this is a really good question. There's so much in there. I think there's, you know, this black hole principle that I've, you know, was talking about earlier, and is central to the work that I'm now doing, why I had to leave all the old world behind and go into this new path. But quantum physics, I know you did a show on this with Anthony Peake recently, you know, that consciousness is fundamental to reality. So the whole theory is based on the fact that you can't see the black hole because it's beyond what you call the perception horizon. You can't see the higher dimensions because it's beyond normal perception at the speed of light. So we call that the speed limit of the universe, when it's actually just a reflection of the limitations of the vibrations of this dimension, of the perception of this dimension. We know that photons go faster than the speed of light. You know, they have no mass and they have no speed, really. You know, we know that light can go faster than the speed of light. It's just that our world, the world of mass and charge and density, that has its limitations to the speed of light. 98% of the universe is out there beyond our normal perception. You know, what if we were to realize that we don't have the whole picture? You know, it's the speed of light isn't the limit at all. And even Einstein started to say that in his own lifetime. And people turned around and said, but that's the law. You can't break the law. And he goes, well, I kind of made that law. You know, so even he wanted to break that rule. And as I said, you know, some orthodox physicists are breaking that rule. What sort of technology would come out of it if we realized that there's infinite potential on every single part of the universe that's bringing through this amazing, these gamma ray bursts that they can't understand where this power is coming from? If you really understood the dynamics, imagine the technology that could come out of it. So that's the first level, but it's just the science, you know, leading on to it. If you have new science, you can have new engineering. You know, first of all, you've got to have the theory and the new understanding of the universe before you can make the technology. So that's the first thing. And the second thing, just as you were saying, you know, what about the mind? So once you understand that consciousness is fundamental and that there are many dimensions to the universe, and this is science, you know, how freeing is it? People are so stuck in their box of 3D reality, and there's a reason that there's news every day that's telling you to keep in fear. Because if you are in fear, if you don't understand what's been done to your emotions, that you're being kept in fear all the time, because if you just understood just how many dimensions your being lives in, you know, that you can actually shift your awareness beyond the speed of light to the infinite potential of who you really are, that you are this amazing interdimensional being that can interact with other dimensional beings. I tell you, there are many, many beings on this planet, non-human species. I've seen them. And they are constantly walking around. There are many, many different frequencies. They don't want you to know that, because if you knew that, you wouldn't keep a docile person. If you understand the physics, the science, that consciousness is fundamental, there's many dimensions to the universe, and start embodying that, move out of the fear frequency that everybody's intent on keeping you in, then you can actually start to expand into these dimensions. Make sure you keep grounded, you don't lose yourself there, but, you know, so you can actually expand into these dimensions and maybe even interact with these dimensional beings. There's so much more to the universe than we're told, and we're kept like that quite deliberately.
Well, this is a concept that's been repeated for a long time, you know. You got to work to feed the soul, as it were. And my perspective is, well, actually, it depends what you're working on. If you're working for somebody else, for something that doesn't matter, it doesn't feed your soul at all. It actually feeds on your soul. It does a direct opposite to what's meant to be happening. And it's the same thing with almost every current, cliche of how to live a healthy life really is, for me, it's just complete opposite land. It doesn't matter what your employment status is. It doesn't matter whether you're a manager or a company or the clerk of a company. It doesn't have much of a bearing on what kind of a person you are. And it's only once you realize your own limitless potential that you can actually become something better. It has nothing to do with how many promotions you've received or what titles you hold.
Yeah. There are labels that we put on ourselves. And, you know, certainly what happened to me and probably, you know, made me have to stand there without the label of a career. And, you know, I worked on Punk Science for 4 years without any publishing contract or anything. And people would ask me, what do you do? People always ask you, what do you do? And if I say, well, I'm writing a book, they go, well, have you got a publisher? And I'd say, no. And they go, well, you're not a writer then. And, you know, so I was in this, like, in-between stage where I wasn't working as a doctor and I didn't have a publisher. And I was, like, had to face myself, you know, just me without any labels. And that's frightening. But when you start to do that and say, I'm not just this person who's my... I'm not an accountant. I'm not, you know, I am me, you know, and just start to face yourself, it's actually hugely liberating. But we're so fearful that we have to have that label, and I know what that's like. And, you know, at the end of that 4 years, when the book was ready, not when I was ready, but when the book was ready, the publisher appeared. You know, everything happened in the perfect timing. So, yeah, it's going beyond those labels and going beyond this box. I mean, there's a lot attempting to keep you there. And one of the biggest things that people don't take account of is your emotional body is absolutely key. If you are feeding on a frequency of fear, the emotional body actually eats just like anything else. And if you are constantly munching, allowing it to munch on fear, you're going to keep yourself disconnected from source. And there's lots of things trying to keep you there. It's kind of like feeding horizontally instead of vertically. So once you shift your feeding of your emotional body and start to connect direct to source, you know, the Gnostic Gospels even say this. They say that when the Archons, you know, David Icke talks about the Archontic universe, and when the Archons actually created these clay figures and called them human beings and got them to be their slaves or whatever, there's one thing that they didn't count on, and that was Sophia, the goddess, and some accounts of Sophia's mother, to put the divine spark in humans. And that divine spark is something the Archons cannot take away. It's right there in the ancient scriptures that no matter what they're doing to control you, every human being has that direct connection to the source. You know, call it the center of the black hole, call it whatever. It's that infinity. And that cannot be taken away from you. They can try and distract you from that. But, and you know, using fear and use whatever emotions. But once you start to realize and connect yourself, you're actually going to connect to this sort of interdimensional. And once we realize that this, you know, like the Plato's cave, you know, that this isn't all there is. These are just shadows. There's so, so much more. There's 98%. You know, this is scientific fact. Cosmologists, standard model of cosmology, is 98% of the universe is not known about. Dark energy and dark matter. Once you realize that we're only seeing a tiny sliver of reality, you know, both at a consciousness level and, in, you know, just orthodox physics even says that, you know, you can start to expand your mind beyond the speed of light. Your consciousness is massless. It can go beyond the speed of light. Your matter might not be, but your consciousness can. You can actually expand and become that multidimensional being.
Yeah, and I think it really encourages you to be very humble if you know that you don't know anything. The man who thinks he knows everything obviously knows nothing. And the man who thinks he knows nothing probably knows enough. A very special guest, Dr. Manjeet Samantha Lawton from punk.com. Ladies and gentlemen, check out her...
Yeah, thank you very much for coming on the show, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening in, and we'll see you again sometime at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Why? Because it's the most important question, allegedly.